I'm going to invite you to take a Bible again as we turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles provided for you in the pew racks, and you'll find Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 on page 1245 in those Bibles. Pastor, leadership authority, and author John Maxwell shares the following story. He says, I heard a story the other day of two boys going to school, and they were talking about their families. One boy said he had figured out a system for getting along with his mom. Some of you might want to listen. He had figured out a system for getting along with his mom. He said, it's very simple. She tells me what to do, and I do it. What a thought. Right? Imagine that. I mean, it's amazing how that works out so well, right? Our passage this morning, as we have been working our way through this book of Ephesians, it's really a letter that the apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And it was originally not divided up into chapters and verses, but it's helpful for us to read and work our way through it for it to be done that way. So we find ourselves this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And it goes like this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let's pray again. Lord, three short verses and yet much truth packed into them. Father, we pray that you would help us to not only understand what you are saying to us through the Apostle Paul's pen. But Father, we pray that you would help us to see the truth of it, to embrace it, and to obey it. We need your work. We need for your Holy Spirit to give us both the desire and the power to do so. Left to ourselves, we recoil. We rebel. So Lord, we submit to you and pray for you to use this time. Give us attention, alertness. Give us love for you and for your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, just for you children who are not in here, but you're in children's church, just know that I've already spoken to your parents. We dealt with verse 4 last week. Parents, or fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I mentioned that that was addressed not just to fathers specifically, but to parents in general. If you miss that sermon, it's online. You can find it on our website, rbctoday.com. You can go to recent sermons and you can listen to that. You can download that or stream that and listen to it. Or if you would like to fill out one of the sermon request CDs, you can get one of those. There's no charge for you to receive a copy of that. This morning, we want to look at God's Word to children. Now, here's the question. How many of us are children? Broadly speaking, how many of us does that take in? All of us, right? You didn't get into this world without parents, without being a child, right? So we are all children. So this is not just God's word to those who are still under the authority of their parents, although it does address them, but it addresses all of us, albeit in different ways. There are four things that I want to, as briefly as I can, emphasize this morning. First of all, the principles. Secondly, the problem. Third, the promise. And then fourth, the purpose. The principles, the problem, the promise, and the purpose. First of all, notice the principles. For children still under the authority of your parents, you're living at home, you're still dependent on your parents. The word for you is obey. You honor your parents by obeying them, both with your actions and with your attitudes. All right? I want to address that. With your actions and contend with your attitudes. Just briefly, four things about that. First of all, obedience should be immediate or as soon as possible. I addressed that briefly last week with the parents that that's what they should shoot for. That's what they should work for. Instant obedience. And there are good reasons for that. So children, when your mom gives you a command, ask you to do something, and let's be honest, when your parents ask you to do something, it's not really optional, is it? I mean, it wasn't in my home. Whether we're talking about my parents or whether we're talking about my children, I would often ask my children to do something. That didn't mean they had the option of not doing it. I was just being kind, you know, rather than just demanding. Yeah. So when your mother or dad ask you or tell you to do something, your response should be immediate obedience. That's the first thing. Secondly, obedience should be complete. Partial obedience is disobedience. All right? You hear that? Partial obedience is disobedience. Pick up your toys, go get ready for bed. Picking up your toys is partial obedience. Getting ready for bed completes it. All right? So obedience should be complete obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Third, obedience should be respectful from the heart and not simply outward. It's, maybe you heard the story of the little girl whose parents told her, "All right, sweetie, it's time to sit down. It's time to sit down." She kept saying, "It's time to sit down." Finally, she sat down and she said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." There are a lot of children like that, all right? They may be sitting down on the inside, but they're standing up. I mean, sitting down on the outside, but they're standing up on the inside. A lot of times, you know, your obedience is outward only. That is not God's design. It is that it should be obedience of your heart. You should be obeying on the inside, respecting the authority of your parents. It should be respectful from the heart and not simply outward. Fourth, obedience should be given as if you are obeying the Lord, because in reality you are. Your obedience to your parents should be given as if you are obeying the Lord, because in reality you are. Because it is the Lord who establishes the home. It is the Lord who establishes parents as the authorities in the home. So your problem is ultimately, we're going to come back to this, is ultimately not with your parents when you don't do what they say. Your problem ultimately is with God. And I don't think you want to pick a fight with God. All right? So your obedience should be given as if you are obeying the Lord. Let me mention one more thing. And that is, your obedience should be total, except when you are asked or commanded to do something that violates God's word. I can't imagine parents doing that, but I know some do. All right? Our ultimate obedience is to the Lord. And no matter who the authority is, if we are commanded or asked to do something that violates God's word, we must disobey that command. But it's an explicit, not just because you think it's not the right thing, but it must be explicit disobedience of God's word in order for you to disobey a command from your parents. So that's kind of the word for children still in the home, children still dependent on the parents, still under the authority of their parents. But what about to those of us who at various stages of, you might call it independence, we're no longer living with our parents, no longer under the authority of parents. Maybe our parents aren't even still living. Is there any word here for us? Yes, there is. We are still to honor our parents. And there are several things about that. The way we honor our parents when we're no longer under their authority, no longer dependent on them is not through obedience, but in other ways. Number one is respect. We must still respect, give respect to our parents. Show respect to our parents, especially if they're still living. And we do that both with our actions and with our attitudes. Kent Hughes, pastor emeritus of the College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, writes this, in the Old Testament economy and the way the Lord designed things, respect for one's parents was considered so important that it was linked with the Sabbath and thus was seen as essential for living. And then he quotes from Leviticus 19:3, each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. You see how the Lord links obedience, or rather respect for parents, with his lordship in our lives. We must respect our parents. What if they don't deserve it? We respect them anyway. We give them, show them respect anyway. Secondly, we are to be considerate of our parents. Basically, we are to treat our parents as we are commanded to treat all people, and that is as we would like to be treated, right? Jesus says in Matthew 7:12, so whatever you wish that others do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do you want to be treated as if you don't know what you're talking about? No. Then don't treat your parents that way. Do you want to be treated as if you're living in some other world? As if you're an alien? No, even though your parents may be out of touch with the way things are, treat your parents the way you would like to be treated. Adult children, treat them with respect. Treat them with consideration. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also them, for this is law and prophets. This is part of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Are your parents not your neighbors? Yes. Whether they live close to you or not, that's not the issue. We're to love others as we love ourselves. Third, in some occasions, we are to provide for our parents. You see, sometimes the roles get reversed. In the home, while we're growing up, our parents provide for us. There comes a time when perhaps our parents need some help, and it becomes our responsibility to provide for them. Jesus in Matthew 15 scolded the religious leaders in this way. He says, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he needs not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The situation was that there was this hypocritical practice of saying, I've devoted all of my belongings, all of my wealth to God to be used for his. Now, I'm still going to use it for me, but I can't give it to you. I can't help you with it because it's devoted to God. That they tried to get around honoring their parents in that way. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5:8 about supporting family, especially elderly family. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We have responsibility as adult children sometimes to reverse the roles and help provide for parents. Fourth way that we honor our parents is by honoring their reputation, by honoring their name. In other words, especially if we have Christian parents, godly parents, we live in such a way as not to bring reproach upon their name. You may have been wondering, when Pastor Greg read that story from J. Jeremiah 35 about the Rechabites. What in the world is that all about? It's about a tribe or a family that was given instructions by their ancestor to live a certain way. And they follow that, even when it was costly. And the Lord uses this family to rebuke his nation, Israel. He says, I've given you all these instructions and you don't follow them at all. And look at this family, how they have honored their father in doing what he says. We honor our parents when we live consistently with their character, with their reputation, when we don't bring reproach upon their names. In fact, the Rechabites were commended by the Lord for honoring their father. This shows us that our parents don't even have to be living for us to honor them or dishonor them. Well, those are the principles. Obey while we're under our parents' authority, while we're still dependent on them. Honor them, respect them, be considerate of them, provide for them if needed. Don't bring reproach on their name. Honor them. Well, there is a problem, though, and that's the second point. And the problem is this. It's sin. It's sin. You're not surprised, right? The problem is sin. We are sinful human beings. Our parents are sinful human beings. We do not always give the honor, the respect that is due to our parents. And guess what? Parents don't always deserve the respect that they are to be afforded. That's the problem. We have failed to obey many times, or we have failed to show respect many times, or consideration, or perhaps we had an opportunity to provide help for a parent and refused to do so. Maybe our lifestyle, our choices have brought dishonor on our parents. If any of these is the case, we must repent, ask forgiveness, and seek to rebuild the relationship. Children, when you disobey your parents, you need to ask their forgiveness. Adult children, when you dishonor your parents, you need to humble yourself and ask their forgiveness. But it's not just the sin of not honoring or not obeying. There's also the sin, and if you're a parent, you can identify with this. We're sinful. Sometimes we are harsh. Sometimes we discipline in anger rather than in love. Sometimes we're inconsistent. Sometimes parents meddle in their adult children's lives when they shouldn't. Sometimes parents seek to manipulate children through guilt. There are a host of ways that parents sin against their children. When that happens, parents, as I mentioned last week, should humble themselves, confess it, and ask forgiveness. But listen. Honor is still to be given, even when the person who you're supposed to honor is imperfect. All right? Keep in mind four things. First of all, obeying or honoring authority isn't always about the one in authority deserving it. Right? Kids, sometimes your mom, your dad won't deserve your obedience. You give it anyway. Again, unless it's violating Scripture, God's Word. Adult children, sometimes your parents, your adult parents, have made choices. Or they meddle, they use guilt, all kinds of things, and they don't really deserve your honor. Give it anyway. It's not about deserving. It's about obeying God. We must always be loving, gracious, kind, and considerate. Even when the relationship has changed, when we're no longer called to obey our parents, we are still to honor them through being loving, gracious, kind, and considerate. And again, as in every relationship, our first allegiance is to God and His authority. We are never to condone, enable, or in any way be a part of another's sins, whether it's children or whether it's parents. The third word is promise. There's a promise. Did you see that? It's even stated, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, this does not mean that if you always obey your parents, you're going to live a long life, you'll never get sick or anything. That would be nice, but we know that that's not how life works. And that's really not what it means. It's not an ironclad guarantee that you're going to live, be 100 or whatever. This is first a corporate promise. That is, this was given to the people of God, to Israel, and then to the church. It was a promise of God's blessing, of extended prosperity in the land for Israel, and then a special blessing on a church where there is respect and honor for parents. But then individually, it is generally true that those who are disobedient and dishonoring of parents also experience other troubles. Let me read you a couple of points. First from Kent Hughes, whom I mentioned, referred to earlier. This is what he writes. There are always exceptions, but the general rule is that unruly children who have rejected natural affection will lead shortened lives. The grace impending spiral of disobedience is easy to trace. Spiritually disobedient to parents may unwittingly slay the desire to obey God, our Father in heaven. Spiritual rebellion may then produce psychological aberrations, complexes, phobias, compulsive desires. This in turn can have devastating effects on one's social habits and friendships. Finally, physical trauma often results from rebellion, bad habits, drugs, violence, and illicit desires. And often those things lead to undesirable consequences. Chuck Swindoll shares a specific illustration, actually a contrast, in his book, The Strong Family. He writes this. The father of Jonathan Edwards was a minister, and his mother was the daughter of a clergyman. Now, Jonathan Edwards was a Puritan living in America, New England, a pastor, many considered to be the greatest theologian of our nation's history, in our nation's history. But here's what Swindoll writes about his family. Among their descendants, the descendants of Edwards' parents, were 14 presidents of colleges, more than 100 college professors, more than 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 60 physicians, more than 100 clergymen, missionaries, and theology professors, and about 60 authors. There is scarcely any great American industry that has not had one of his family among its chief promoters. Such is the product of one American Christian family reared under the most favorable conditions. The contrast is presented in the Jukes family, which could not be made to study and would not work, and is said to have cost the state of New York $1 million. Their entire record is one of pauperism and crime, insanity and imbecility. Among their 1,200 known descendants, 310 were professional paupers, 440 were physically wrecked by their own wickedness, 60 were habitual thieves, 130 were convicted criminals, 55 were victims of impurity, only 20 learned a trade, and 10 of those learned it in the state prison. And this notorious family produced 7 murderers. The reality is, in a spiritual and emotional and many other ways, it's good to honor your parents. There is a promise. There's a blessing that comes with that. The fourth point is the purpose. What is the purpose of for honoring our parents, obeying our parents? Well, the first purpose is protection. Protection. Believe it or not, kids, young kids, older kids, your parents have gone before you and they've learned some things, and they really do have your well-being in mind when they give you instructions. And most of the time they do it, or often they do it for your protection. Let me give you a positive and a negative example. Dave Stone shares the following. He says, a number of years ago, our family was in the Dominican Republic on a mission trip. If you've ever driven a developing country, you know how dangerous the traffic can be. Yeah. Vehicles whizzed past, coming within just a few feet of children playing close to the road. One night, my son Sam was playing a game in his own little world in which he would zig and zag back and forth from sidewalk onto the narrow street and back. It wasn't a heavily traveled road, but there was always loud music blaring and it was pitch dark. From about 10 feet away, I suddenly shouted, Samuel, don't move. Immediately, he froze. About a second later, a moped zipped past him, going 30 miles an hour with no lights on, right where Sam was about to step. My 6-year-old didn't ignore me, argue, or blatantly disobey. I said, freeze, and he froze. That obedience probably saved his life. Now, sounds pretty extreme. Not every act of disobedience carries that kind of danger, but sometimes it does. Henry Blackaby shares the following story. The first funeral I ever conducted was for a beautiful 3-year-old. She was the first child born to a couple in our church and the first grandchild in their extended family. Unfortunately, she was spoiled. While visiting the little girl's home one day, I observed that she loved to ignore her parents' instructions. When they told her to come, she went. When they said sit down, she stood up. Her parents laughed, finding her behavior cute. One day, the front gate was inadvertently left open. The parents saw their child escaping out of the yard and heading toward the road. To their horror, a car was racing down the street. She paused for a second, looked back at her parents, then gleefully laughed as she turned and ran directly into the path of the oncoming car. The parents rushed the little girl to the hospital, but she died from her injuries. Parents are given to children to give them instructions for their protection. And parents, there's a word there for you as well. If you don't require instant obedience, your kids are not going to give it. If you don't train them to obey immediately, they're not going to do it. That's not in their nature. So it's equally your responsibility as well as it is theirs. So the first purpose is protection. Second purpose is direction. Direction. Again, parents are always older than their children. Yes? Right? Parents are a little further down the road, all right, in life. Parents have seen things. They've heard things. They've experienced things that children have not. Parents have wisdom that their children don't have. We don't have time to read, but the first several chapters of Proverbs is filled with instructions of a father to his children, encouraging them to get wisdom, to listen to my instructions. Why? Because parents have wisdom, they have experience that helps to give direction to children. Listen to your parents. Now, again, there comes a point in time when you won't take that direction. When you have established your own home, you may choose to go a different direction, but at least listen to their direction, to their instructions, to their wisdom. God has given them to you, not only for protection, but for direction. And then the third, and really the most important, is design. Design. What do I mean by that? This is how God has designed his world. God has made the world with structures of authority for the home, for the church, for society. God is the ultimate authority, but He gives authority to these different leaders in these different structures. In the home, He gives parents authority. In business, He gives employers authority. In society, He gives government leaders authority. In the church, He gives leaders authority. Those in authority will answer to God for how they lead. But also, those under authority will answer for how they follow. Because to reject God-designed and God-decreed authority is a rejection of God, of His purpose and His plan. And again, I've mentioned many times, I want to make it clear, there are limits to authority. The delegated authority that God gives to parents and to church leaders, to government leaders. But the limit is whenever those in authority would violate God's word, would give instructions or set out plans that are contrary to the clear teachings of God's word. Most of the time, that's not the case, not in the home, not in a Christian home or Christian family. So what we are doing when we don't honor parents, we're not honoring God. His design, we are rejecting His design. And we see it all over the place. It is our nature to rebel. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, did so. And we are even more prone to do that. I am convinced that many children, some still at home, some who are independent, they're living as adults, married or not, but I'm convinced that many have issues with parental authority because they have an issue with God's authority. That is, they're not followers of Christ, submitting to the lordship of Christ in their lives. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you find yourself here and your real issue is with God. Whether you are conscious of that or not, if you have not consciously recognized the Bible, what the Bible says of all of us, it says of you, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've not seen yourself as a sinner and turned from your sin, then your problem is still basically with God. And God has provided for you to be forgiven of that sin, for you to get a new start, to be spiritually born again, to be made anew, to have fellowship with God through His Son, Jesus. So hear the message of the gospel. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Life here and life eternal. Have you repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ, children? Do you recognize that you're a sinner and you're going to answer to God for that? Have you turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ? If you want to know more about that, talk to Mom, talk to Dad about that. And if they need help, they'll come talk to me about that. If you would like to put your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, talk to your mom and dad about that. Put your trust in Christ. Those of you who no longer are in the home, what about you? Do you know and know that you know that if you were to die today, you'd be with the Lord in heaven? Not because you're a good person, you are not, neither am I. But because the only good person, Jesus Christ, died in your place, took the penalty for your sins, was raised from the dead so that you might have life as you put your trust in Him. If you've not done that, would you do that today, even where you're sitting? Just turn to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He'll do that. He'll do that right where you are. Come. Jesus, I come. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Will you say that to the Lord? Into thy freedom, gladness and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want and into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thyself. Jesus, I come to thee. You can do that right today, right where you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we confess that we have fallen short. Lord, some of us in our own homes, our own families, we have been guilty of disobeying and dishonoring our parents. Lord, we need to confess that to you and to them and ask forgiveness. Father, some of us, we've all sinned. But some of us have yet to confess that, have yet to own up to that, have yet to turn from that and put our trust in the only Savior from sin, Jesus Christ. Father, would you today draw people to yourself? Would you open the eyes of those who are spiritually blind? Would you help them to trust in Christ and Him alone as Savior? Lord, may the song that we're about to sing reflect truly the intent of every heart, every life today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.